You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on?
Go. Let's go, everybody.
Ooh. It's a hard hat. They're going to come off.
It's a hard hat night.
The prop Thursday is coming night. Off.
Celtics even up the series here with a dominant performance, John. What are we thinking? How are we feeling?
Feeling
better than we did after game one?
I mean, it's amazing, right? Because they got all sorts, you know, the news roller coaster from the day, you know.
Oh.
You know, Al goes from doubtful to questionable. So you're like, uh-oh, there's okay. A chance. There's a chance he's going to play. You find out Derek White is out and you're like, uh-oh. Well, at least Marcus is probable. So he's likely going to play.
That
so you're
good.
You're happy yeah. there. But how good is he going to be? And then Al all of a sudden is in and you're like, wait a second. That's the starting five. And that's the starting five that never loses to anybody ever.
Right.
Ironically, the starting five wasn't. The super key because they were actually better when they went to one big and played a little small, but still you got good Rob minutes. Second stint Rob was good. They were better once they had those things, but then the Marcus game. I mean, there's no question about it.
Going to go down to the Marcus game. As Bobby would say, Celtic lore, it will go
Celtic
down.
Celtic lore. We'll be talking about where we were forever.
Where we were in game two of the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, but
Marcus Smart put the team on his back.
You can't have a clearer, you know, a lot of people were doing the whole record without Marcus during the year stuff. And it was, you know, it made a huge difference. But I mean, the entire season turned around when Marcus Smart came back from injury, decided he was going to be the version of him that we saw in the last 35 games of the year. And everything took off from there. They just got connected. They got connected on defense. He slowed things down on offense. And that's what they needed bad. They were so out of sorts last game, both offensively and defensively. They weren't connected, and they just didn't have that guy to kind of stay in control. You saw Miami played so in control in game one. Jimmy Butler, nothing seemed forced. Nothing seemed rushed. And the Celtics just seemed kind of all over the place, really scattered. And Marcus just came in and just settled it. And that's before he started scoring. He had a bad shooting first half. And he was still one of the best players on the court because he was so important on defense. He was so good distributing the ball, running the offense, getting guys, you know, getting everything organized. So even before he started scoring, he was having a great game. And I think he had a 2-for-11 first half. And then he just started friggin' dropping threes left and right. The over the backboard shot. I mean, just bananas. It was so good. It was such a and he's not. You saw the warm up, him walking onto the court. He's limping. Right. He's still not anywhere close to 100%. He plays 40 something minutes and he's the best player on the court by far.
They asked him, you know, they did the walk-off interview with him. He said that the foot's feeling great, you know, a little bit of pain, but nothing he can't play through. I mean, you didn't notice he was hurt while he was out there playing.
No.
It's the Marcus Smart effect. I mean, he, like you said, John, he wasn't hitting shots to start this game. In fact, a buddy of mine texted me and said, like, only Marcus Smart could, you know, single-handedly drop the team's shooting percentage 15 points. And I was like, dude, are you watching the game? Because it doesn't matter what he's doing on offense right now. He's absolutely preventing the Heat from being a basketball team right now. You know, Jimmy Butler couldn't, you know, they couldn't pick on Pritchard. They couldn't get the switches that they want. He was hounding Butler. I know Butler kind of got things going a little bit in the third, but the Celtics responded. You know, it wasn't that third quarter that, you know, wasn't anything like the third quarter of game one. And the Celtics kept the foot on the gas, and to their credit, they answered whatever the Heat had left. And
one run.
Marcus Smart was the biggest reason behind that. And you mentioned how they missed that in the first game because he kind of sets the tone, paces them. I think he it's kind of funny saying this, but I think he can kind of, I don't want to say calm them down, but I think he does have that ability, him and Horford. And you know, Horford's another guy that came back there, came back on the court tonight. Those are the two veterans, the two real veterans of this team. Not to say that Brown and Tatum aren't veterans at this point, because they are, but you know, Smart and Horford, obviously Horford, have been around for a while. And to have them out there, it just gives you that extra element of, you know, not just on the court stuff, but off the court, you know, the mental side of things as well. So pure team effort tonight. You know, even Grant Williams got it going. He had a rough game one, and he got hot, had a couple threes to start the game, and ended up with 19 points. And we got to mention our guy, P-Party, Peyton Pritchard. We got
to mention P-Party. I still think that was the best nickname.
Boston P-Party, from that was born last year on the show. Didn't quite take off, but maybe there's still a second life here.
It should have.
Back.
Plus 39.
It's been a pee party, man. It's been a pee party. Plus 39 in 20 minutes or something like that. I mean, that's freaking nuts.
Bananas.
I mean, unreal. Him and who was the other crazy? Well, was it Grant? Him and Grant had unbelievable plus minuses tonight, like upper 30s. So you got to give them their dues. Team effort. No Derek White. Didn't really miss him a whole lot. I hate to say it, but a buddy of mine said that maybe Derek White should go on like a 1 month paternity leave.
Here's the thing.
It's important to see your kid. So maybe
here's the thing. Leave. You know, what did we, this is what we've always believed. Not always. That's a lie. We didn't always believe it, what we came to believe late in the year. And I think became evident was that the Celtics fully healthy were extremely difficult to beat.
Totally.
Not just extremely difficult.
Best in the league.
Like an entire level above the next tier of competition. They were killing teams. And that's why the Rob injury was so discouraging. That's why any bumps and bruises they've suffered along the way here are so freaking frustrating, because it honestly feels like, and again, injuries are part of this, and Miami's without Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker left during the game. So they're down two starters too here. Yeah. So not to make excuses, I can overcome a 30 friggin' point drubbing, but it's part of the game. Everybody goes through it, but you've just felt that it didn't matter. If everybody on every team had all their players, Celtics included, the Celtics were going to win because they were a level above everyone they were playing. And this kind of felt a little like that. And when you do get Derek White back, again, I do think this small lineup against Miami and having guys out there that can move the ball and play defense on their perimeter guys is going to be a frigging nightmare. You're really not worried about anything on the interior for Miami. The Celtics can pester all of their players. They can take Miami out of their rhythm. They can really challenge their shots. The Jimmy Butler's going to do what Jimmy Butler does, but Celtics their defense should be able to stifle them, and offensively they have more firepower just because of the Jays alone, and when other guys contribute like Smart and Pritchard and Grant did tonight, forget about it. So this was awesome. Sherrod's trying to peek in, just letting everybody know at home, Sherrod Blakely, Bobby Manning, Josue Pavone, all in Miami hanging out. Sherrod just tried to pop in. We'll get him in as soon as he can. We'll hang out for as long as you guys want us to, honestly, here to talk about an amazing game two victory for tonight. Jimmy, what else stood out to you? And again, I know it'll be the Marcus game, but just differences between game one and game two, what the Celtics did better.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, they did everything better, first of all. I mean, you know what, though, is that third quarter from that game one, I'm hoping that was just the exception in this series. And if you look at that game, you know, and you look at this game, the Celtics have played pretty dominant. I don't want to say dominant, but they've clearly, in my opinion, been the better team. I can't explain what happened in that third quarter. I don't know if it was – I don't know what it was. I really can't explain. I don't even want to think about it. But tonight was just a complete effort. You know, I love the way they came out. I love the way that they kept their foot in the gas. And we haven't mentioned Tatum yet, but he had his spurts tonight where he looked like the best player in the court. He hit some big shots. He had some threes. And again, that a good response. You know, the one thing I'll say about the Celtics team, they haven't lost two in a row yet in the playoffs. They respond. They have been able to respond to adversity or poor performances. They don't carry a poor performance into the next game. They're not down on their luck. They leave it behind. They start fresh. And so far, I mean, now they're, what, 4-0 after losses? So there's something to be said about that. The resolve on this team, a relatively young team, is important in the playoffs because it can be an emotional, or it is an emotional time. You know, every game is peak of, you know, your emotions, and to be able to harness that and not let negativity carry over into the game is perfect.
What's up, Sherrod? Sherrod's back in the back in the party zone.
Yeah. What's up, Sherrod, fellas?
Sherrod, you in the club?
The club is me. What are you talking about? Sherrod's I don't have to go anywhere for the club. The club is me. Man, this is a hell of a game. Hell of a game. Marcus, I tried to kind of, you know, prepare you guys for the Marcus Smart experience in game two after game one. This was so much better than I thought. I thought he would play well. I did not anticipate he would play this well. The scoring, it came as the game went along, but his ability to control the pace, control the tempo, organize this team offensively, doing all the little things that we did not see in game one. I thought they would win game two, but there's no way in hell anyone could have thought it would have been this emphatic.
Yeah. What's interesting, and again, for everyone out there, Sherrod knows stuff, and Sherrod was very confident. Very confident, though he didn't state it as a fact, but he was pretty damn certain.
He couldn't, but he wanted to.
Marcus was coming back for game two, so Sherrod knows stuff, and he knew stuff. And, you know, he was pretty confident that not only is Marcus going to play, he was going to be effective. I'm not going to lie. I'm stunned, you know.
Yeah, this is borderline. John, if you were more public with your Marcus Smart takes, it'd be borderline apology, Cam.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm only basing it on, you know, talking to people like Dr. Jess Flynn and people who know stuff. And they're like, even a really mild midfoot sprain requires a week or two of nothing. Total rest. It's sore as hell. It's hard as hell to do anything on it. If he plays, he's going to be limited and gimpy and in pain. You know, they can shoot him up and he can tough it out, but it'll be hard. It'll be a hard thing for him to do it with such a short turnaround. They had 2 days off between game seven and game one, and only 4 days here to this. That's such a short runway for him to not only play, but to play this effectively. And then, like I said, you see the video of him that the Celtics themselves released walking into the arena, and he's gimping his gait looks off, and you're like, oh man. And I was like, all right, he's gonna game it because he's tough as nails, and that's what he's gonna do. And he's crafty and he's wily, and he'll figure out a way. And any Marcus is better than no Marcus. I totally feel that way. But he was,
did you talk?
I think early it looked like he was a little, let's feel how it goes.
He was right. Yes, he was absolutely early on. You could definitely see it.
But as the game went on, I felt like he kind of loosened up. Instead of the other way around, I was afraid whatever they shoot him up with to start is going to wear off as the game goes on and he'll start to stiffen. He looked better physically as the game went on, just more agile, a little bit more daring, darting into spaces, all the kind of stuff that you see, the Cobra strike of Oladipo on that play on the sideline and all of those things. Like, he just started, he looked exactly like he always looks after looking a teeny bit tentative in the beginning. He was just phenomenal. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is this, that when for a midfoot sprain, because remember, this is the same injury that kept Anthony Davis out damn near all year. But Marcus, my understanding with his particular case, I can't even really call it a mild foot sprain. It was something that, again, they're obviously just concerned about it, because whenever you have that type of injury, you need to be concerned about it. Mm-hmm. But my understanding after game one was that there was basically no way in hell that he was not going to play in game two. And I tried to kind of press, you know, my sources for, you know, what the hell does that really mean? And they said, let me tell you something. There's no way in hell that he's not going to play in game two. And again, knowing Marcus how I do, there was absolutely no doubt in my mind that he was going to be out there playing. Did I think he'd play this well? Hell no. There's no way in the world I thought he'd be this effective. But I did think that he could make an impact. And little things that he was able to do that we saw was not happening in game point. Like when they blitzed Tatum, what did Tatum do? He swung the ball to Marcus, middle of the floor. Marcus eventually got it back to him. He goes to the free throw line. We saw in game one, that's 2 points the other way. Jimmy Butler cruising in for a dunk. This was maybe the best game Marcus has had in terms of what the team needed from him and him being able to deliver that. He's had better scoring games. He's had better, I think, overall games. But as far as what they needed from him and what he delivered, I don't think he's had a better game in meeting that.
Yeah, this is going to be like when the Hawks, you know, let's say like the Bruins season ends and they announce like all the players who have like a laundry list of surgeries. This is going to be Marcus Smart whenever the Celtics season ends. It's going to be like, yeah, Marcus Smart played with a broken ankle, you know, split spleen, you know, a bruised thigh. It's going to be a laundry list of injuries. But that's the type of guy he is, man. He's hard. No one's ever going to say, you know, you can say whatever you want about Marcus Smart. No one's ever going to say that he doesn't leave it all out there. He doesn't play tough. He doesn't play hard and all that stuff. And that's honestly what you want in, you know, every player wants to play with a guy like that. You know, like those guys are so valuable. They don't have to lead the team in scoring every night. It's just what they do, you know, outside the box score. You know, it's all the 50-50 balls on top of that. But the defense he played tonight, just the ability for him to be able to guard everybody, Sherrod, the fact that they can't, you know, try to target players in the Celtics when he's out there, and the fact that he can, you know, do what he can with Butler and do what he can with, you know, even guys like Bam and you know, whoever, you know, it's so vital to have him in this game. And we all said it after game one. It's like, if it's between Smart and Horford, it's an easy decision. You got to go. You got to roll with Smart. I mean, he might be the second most important player on the team. I don't want to go down that argument, that hole again, but honestly, this is what he's able to do out there. You can't replicate it, really. I mean, and when he's missing, you saw exactly what happened in that game.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that, you know, the one guy who I thought benefited more than anyone else by Marcus being out there was Tatum. This was one of his most efficient playoff games.
Yeah.
Ever. I mean,
because he didn't have to handle the ball and get
exactly
to, and have to get this offense going and then get trapped and blitzed and have all the whole burden on himself. He's freer when Marcus is out there. No doubt about it.
His focus was more on getting buckets, which is what he does exceptionally well. Marcus's job is to get him the ball. I mean, Marcus, you know, he finished with 12 assists and one turnover.
And that was on a terrific play where he made a steal and got credited with the turnover because he saved the ball out of bounds and it happened to hit Tatum's foot.
Yeah,
that was barely a turnover. That was an incredible play where he friggin' tried to, I mean, whatever, but he was incredible.
And I wish you could have found one way to get one more damn rebound for the triple-double.
And they kept him out there maybe
a
couple minutes too long just for
that
one.
He
was under the basket, like, you know.
Right. But what we've seen, coaches, we've seen that before. And we saw Doc Rivers do that with Rondo. When Rondo had that streak where, you know, they were getting, I think it was against Detroit or something like that, where he kept him out there longer just so he can get that.
The rebound's the easy one because you just got to tell everybody, hey, when the shot goes up, just get out of the way.
Right.
You know, that's how Russell Westbrook got like 50, like 30 of his triple doubles that first year. He's like, I'm grabbing these. All right, guys, if everything's, you know, all things being equal, I'm going to get this one.
Yeah, yeah. Did you guys hit on Grant at all yet?
We went roundabout a little bit, just talking about how, like, you know, and again, say whatever you want in that regard. But it was obvious as soon as the major shift in this game came when they took Rob out and put Grant in, and then the energy shifted, Bam. That was a huge thing. And like, I know, like, it'll sound like it was a slight on Rob, but I really think it was just, it was more on the two big lineup. I think they were better when they went to that smaller lineup. And I think that that's the way to go. And in fact, honestly, like, even though they have all their guys back, I'm still actually, you know, Rob's my guy and he's my binky and everything, but I'm still in favor of actually starting Grant and bringing Rob off the bench, in this series against this team. But, you know, I guess, you've got your starting five that friggin' slaughtered people all year long, so if it ain't broke. But that was a huge turning point when they went there, and then also the Pritchard minutes as well. But those guys in there, Grant and Pritchard, really turned the energy there, and that's in that second quarter.
This is one of those series where I do think Grant has the potential to be a major impact player because of his ability to space the floor. That's the one thing, again, it's no fault of Rob. Rob's a great rim protector, a great rim runner, and Grant is a good three-point shooter. He keeps the defense honest. And I thought he did a good job of making the most of his opportunities, because you're right. I mean, they did not start to really separate themselves until Grant got it cooking there in the second quarter. And Pritchard had that really big, big, big three-pointer that led to
late in the first, they turned a 10-point deficit into an 11-point lead there when Rob went out of that game late in the first, and then they kind of extended it into the second and beyond.
Right.
But that was right. That was there. I mean, you're down 10 and you go up 11. That was remarkable. And they did it in like 6 minutes. It was like a 21.
It was those,
you talked about 22-2 run in the third quarter last game. The Celtics went 26-7 run in that period there, and it really was sparked by Grant coming in there in place of Rob in that lineup that they had running there.
Grant coming in, and we gotta talk about Mr. First Quarter, Jaylen Brown. I mean, he had, what was it, 11 like that in the first quarter.
It felt like he had more. I was shocked. I looked at the box score, I thought he had like 17 that quarter, but he,
it felt
11.
Like it.
It's just everything went in.
Yeah.
No, and that's kind of what Jaylen Brown's, I don't want to say known for, but I mean, his starts are no secret. This guy comes out guns blazing to set the tone in a way. And yeah, I mean, you kind of, as the game goes on, you almost kind of forget about it, because it's like, okay, he kind of cooled off a little bit, but really, you know, starting off that way and getting the Celtics going and, you know, making sure they don't go down big. Remember this team last season? They would go down massively to start games. It was horrible the way, and they'd have to spend the rest of the game trying to claw back, and then they might claw back and then lose by 7, and you'd be like, oh, it wasn't that bad. Well, it was bad. You had to claw back all game. But when you get a guy like Jaylen Brown, you know, kind of setting the tone or getting the guys going or trying to get them sparked, that prevents that situation from happening. So if you talk about the first quarter, you got to kind of give him his dues too.
And he needs to do that, I think, in every game in this series, because the one thing we're all seeing with Jaylen is he's picking up a lot of fouls. And that concerns me, because he's kind of putting himself, you know, in the crosshairs of not being able to be on the floor when they need him most in the fourth. But to your credit, to your point, Jimmy, his ability to get off to a great start is huge for this team. Because Tatum, I really didn't think Tatum was just like – kind of asserting himself as a scorer early on. It seemed like he was just kind of feeling the game out and just kind of letting the things kind of go with the flow. But again, that's Jaylen. That's the role that he may need to play in this series. Miss the first quarter and let the rest of the guys kind of fill out the next three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tatum didn't have one of those like nights where he was adamant about, you know, scoring and shooting. You know, really, really the opposite, to be completely honest. And that was fine. I mean, he let the game kind of come to him, and it just wasn't a night where he needed to play like that. And obviously the Celtics they controlled a pretty healthy lead for the majority of this game. I mean, they never let the Heat come back into the game. You know, once they jumped out to that lead at the end of the first, that was it. I mean, it was kind of
one stretch. They got it down to 17 there, where Butler got 17, hot in the third quarter.
I mean, but
right back up. Well, it was, you go from
there was like 3 minutes. There was like 3 minutes left in the third quarter. I mean, if they didn't finish that quarter strong, it could have been like
You went 29-17 fast, and it was fast because the Celtics completely shut down on offense and defense. So that little surge to get it back, they got it right back to 27, and then it ended up 25. So the lead held exact. But it was important, I think, to stem that right there and stop that bleeding. Because if it kept going south and you got to like 12, 13, 14, it's white knuckle time in the fourth. Because so that was good. That was good on them. That was one run, and that was the only run Miami had all game. That's pretty friggin' good. You know, that was it. And you erased it quick. So good composure on that.
Smart.
They didn't.
That was when Smart got hot too, kind of, you know, he started his job on top of the defense he was playing. So you kind of had the dagger three there, I think, to put the Celtics up.
He had everything, right? Not only the dagger threes, but the breaking Strus's ankles, which might already be damaged to begin with because he was a game time decision. That poor dude looked like he broke both his ankles and was like, I have to get up now. He's like, shoot it already, would you?
And Marcus waited for him to get up too. That was the thing. He was just like, you okay, little fella?
And he's on the ground. He's like, are you going to shoot, or are you going to make me get up? And he got up.
I think Marcus took a step forward just to check on him, make sure he was okay. And then he's
good. And then the Larry Bird over the backboard, you know, was friggin' great too.
Yeah,
that was awesome. That kind of got him going. I think up to that point he was kind of missing a lot.
Oh my God, that stuff is great.
Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Let's bring in Bobby Manning. Bobby Manning in Miami, hanging out. Let's check out the fit. What do we got?
What do we got, Bobby?
Oh, it's a new one today.
Miami, Bobby.
Just grabbed it before the game.
Oh, look. I like this.
Okay.
I like it.
Sleeve button down. I like that. That's very Miami Vice.
He's very Miami today.
Yeah, I actually.
This is Sherrod approved.
Yeah.
One of our commenters suggested it, actually, and I went right over and got it. So. Shout out to whoever commented on the shoot we did this morning.
Who are you wearing?
Oh, I can't even think of it. It's a Spanish name. I'm usually pretty good with Spanish, but not this word.
We'll
Someone in the comments will have it because they actually suggested it. It'll pop up here in a minute. But okay. Man, what a game.
Yeah, wow. What a game.
Be talking about where we were on the Marcus Smart game, right, Bobby?
Yeah, that was a special one tonight. Just loading the box score top to bottom. More of a second half pacing effort, I felt like, than an impactful first half effort. He was good in the first half, but he really
had eight assists in the first half. And, you know, so, you know, he just wasn't hitting his shots.
Right. With zero turnovers, which is
right.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Can't nitpick it. It was amazing. Defensively, saw them locked in, gave them the ability to switch. Al Horford. Awesome, I thought in his return.
Wasn't everything just more settled with him out there versus how it looked when especially at the time when they lost the game there in the third quarter? Hard to complain about the first, and again, you know, such a bad taste in your mouth after their first game. And I know I kind of like chided people who were like, well, they won three quarters, but yeah, it doesn't matter when you get, you know, knocked the F out in the third. Yeah, but at the end of the day, it really was a 6-7 minute stretch where they just couldn't settle themselves down. And, you know, just have Marcus is such a calming force out there, both offensively and defensively, keeping everybody connected, but also just having the ball run through him at times, not having all the pressure on Tatum to be the primary ball handler. It's no secret why he had a ton of turnovers last game, because there was just more demand, more pressure, you know, on him to deliver and to do everything. And Marcus just took kind of like eased that burden.
Yeah, they passed really well tonight, top to bottom. I thought Tatum threw some really nice ones. And after that run you talked about there, John, that he got into their zone. And we didn't see it at all in game one. Game two, they decided to pull it out with that 8-point lead, and the Celtics just tore it apart. You saw their eyes shoot open. Like, we watched this all day on Monday, and now we're going to light it up. And Grant did a great job beating it on the weak side shooting. Tatum got off the ball a little bit there. Marcus had some good passing. Horford got in the high post. They were just ready to tear it apart. And after that, the Celtics went on a 37-10 run, just dominance through the middle portion of this game. He got lit up in the half court. Offensively, they couldn't get anything going. And now, I don't know if you guys saw, but P.J. Tucker getting an MRI on his knee, that's not going to help them. They had to go to Duncan Robinson in the second half to try to get something going, and just wasn't there.
So that's interesting, Bobby, because you mentioned those two. Those are two things I wanted to kind of lump together. Heat goes zone, and it blows up in their face, and they play the Duncan Robinson card, hoping to spark them, and it doesn't make a lick of difference. And those are two gimmicks, you know? Like, you always talk about teams that have to rely on stuff like zone. When you start going into your bench and playing guys who haven't been in your rotation to try to figure stuff out, that's not a great sign. It means you're searching. It means you're not really satisfied with what you have out there and you're trying anything. And I know it's only one game, but between that and the zone, Spoelstra has to go into his bag, and he used up two tricks and it didn't do a friggin' thing for you. So what else is next? You know, are you going to just be able to run out my guys versus your guys if the Celtics are fully healthy and have Derek White back and feel good enough about that? I mean, we saw that with Milwaukee. Bud was looking for the right rotations all series long, and he couldn't figure out which lineup to go with, and whichever he went with, you'd be like, ah, but I don't love this and I don't love that. And you're wondering if Miami's going to run into these problems here if the Celtics have all their guys.
And that's a problem.
Go ahead, Gerard.
He'd feel thin, Gerard. Yeah, he'd feel thinner right now, especially if they lose Tucker.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing that I thought really stood out in this game was that Ime made some pretty obvious adjustments that Miami couldn't adapt to. Like, running guys along the baseline rather than just running them, they're actually looking to score. It reminded me of old Doc Rivers' offense where Avery Bradley, that was literally the only way Avery Bradley would score. We saw that with Grant. We saw that with Tatum. And Marcus Smart was against the guy engineering that. That's a wrinkle that for a team that is as locked in defensively as Miami, to not be able to stop that when Boston went that, that's a problem. So when you start looking at the adjustments that Miami is going to have to make at the defensive end of the floor, and then you look at the fact that you might not have P.J. Tucker and you might have to play Duncan Robinson more, they're in trouble. They're in serious trouble. Especially, and think about it. We played eight quarters. Celtics have won, I think, pretty clear six, probably seven of those eight
and
quarters.
That's what we were talking about last game, Sherrod. I know John went crazy a little bit there when I said, oh, they won three quarters. But again, you just saw.
Let me ask you this. Did the Heat play the Celtics even for two quarters tonight? Because the score says they did, and they certainly did not.
That's not. I'm not even talking about the
I know, but that's enough. What I mean is, like, it was close. It was competitive, even though the Celtics played well in the first half. And during winning, the Heat came and just destroyed them in the only portion of the game that really mattered, and that really was it. It was competitive. I don't think winning a quarter by 3 points and saying, like, you're dominating every quarter.
I'm talking about the first half.
Tonight they
dominated
every quarter, even though the scoreboard says they tied in two of them because they started with a 25-point lead at the half and finished with one in the game. It wasn't. It was wire-to-wire domination in this game.
Yeah,
but when we're looking at game one, if we stack what was most important – third quarter, obviously most important. First half, Celtics were in pretty good control of that game, even without Smart, even without Horford. Defensively, they were locked in, keep stagnant in the half court. And the fourth quarter was obviously a wash that they won, didn't matter at all. But you saw in that first half that the Celtics could hold down the Heat if they kept them in the half court. Things got out in transition, got a little erratic in that second half, and that's where it really fell apart for the Celtics there. But in this one, you bring back Smart, you bring back Horford. And like I said, coming into this series, I feel like the Celtics have a real upper hand on this team. Like, talent-wise, matchup-wise, I think their offense is good enough to not play into what the Heat want to do here, especially with these guys back. And now that you have that starting lineup back that crushed teams in the second half of the season, all five of those guys looking good, plus Grant as a pseudo sixth starter, I think you might have a backdoor sweep here. I think you might.
Stop it, Bobby. Stop it.
Bobby, I got to tell you. I got to tell you, man. You are just – swinging back and forth,
my man. I
said
coming into the series, John, this could be a 5-6 game series.
You also said the Heat scare you, and they're much better than we're giving them credit for. Like, I'm trying to figure out which angle you're playing.
That's just me holding myself back a little bit there. And then you saw what it looked like without the two starters back. But you get those two guys back. We talked about this morning, Gerard, Dwayne, and I. Like, just a game changer. A ray of news entering this day. Smart.
Yeah.
Looking good, coming back, being himself. Horford jumping right out of the COVID protocol. All of a sudden, you got your starting five back, and you just mash teams.
So
that group.
That's the thing. I think the one thing to really look at is, you know, just straight personnel wise, I would have picked the Celtics in five or six and not blinked. I was nervous for the two things. One, we didn't know how right Rob was. He was a DNP for the last few games, was emergency only in game seven, had no idea what you'd be getting out of him. And while he hasn't been perfect, health-wise, I don't see issues with him right now. And Marcus, I just did not expect you'd see not only him return by game two, but be this good in such a short period of time coming off that injury, which I guess was considerably milder than even a mild version of this injury. So with that, and then with Derek White missing this game, but probably back for the rest of the series, you're fully loaded for the rest of the time here. So I don't I don't know. Like I said, I mean, now again, the Heat are going in the wrong direction. Lowry doesn't seem like he's even close. And who knows if and when he comes back, but those hamstrings are tough, man. And if Tucker goes out, this could go sideways fast for Miami. Yeah.
From the beginning, I thought this was going to be a six-game series for Boston. And there's been nothing I've seen so far that leads me to think otherwise. I think Miami will get at least one more game. I just think they're that good. They're that tough. And the Celtics, I think, will have an off game. But the Celtics are the better team. I mean, there's just really no – I mean, we can shoot – go all around and look at all the different lineups and the different rotations and all that. Bottom line, the Celtics are a better team from top to bottom than Miami.
Jimmy, you think so?
Yes, I think so. I think I said Celtics in seven just because it just felt like it was going to be a dogfight. But now seeing how things are kind of shaking out for the Heat, I just don't think they have the manpower to roll with the Celtics. The Celtics, if they kept the starting five going and going strong and going healthy, I don't think that he can contain him. I mean, Jimmy Butler is one guy, you know, and he's a stud. Don't get me wrong. He's going to do everything he can to keep it close. But after him, you know, Bam is not Bam. Or Bam isn't who I thought Bam was going to be, I guess, because he's just not the dual threat offensively. You know, defensively, of course, he's still a force. But
he's not
offensively, man,
aggressive enough.
There's a lot to be.
And he has no game away from the basket either. Right. And that's a problem for him. He's not taking you off the dribble, and he's not pulling up. And the Celtics
six
know
shot
that.
Attempts tonight.
So you're worried about only his verticality and your back line this time versus last time you saw him for an extended period in the bubble 2 years ago isn't Tyson Cantor and rookie Rob anymore. It's Horford and Williams. So you just feel a lot better back there. You're just not worried about anything Bam's going to do.
He's not shooting enough.
Yeah, he's not aggressive enough. He doesn't look for his offense. They're not looking for him.
Well, the Celtics have done a good job of taking away the role. I mean, when he's rolling, there's no room. There's no room to pass because typically the defender on the ball has length over the ball handler. So there's not a clear path to get him the ball. The Celtics defensively have put Miami in a pickle. They can't – Bam's not getting open. And when he does get open, the ball handler can't see him because you've got a Tatum or Jaylen Brown on the ball. That's a problem.
They switched so well tonight. Yeah. Gabe Vincent was just
so
talking
well.
About
they
it.
Switched so segment. Well.
No way. Yeah,
we couldn't move the ball. No,
it was incredible.
Change their offense, he said.
They couldn't get in. They couldn't get paint touches. They couldn't get any open threes. Everybody was getting over the screens. It was unbelievable. It was one of those days where on those switches, it felt like the Celtics had six guys out there. It was really, really tough for Miami to get anything going on offense. Real quick, we want to mention here while we have you all, once again, our lovely sponsor, HelloFresh. 72% cheaper than dining at a restaurant, my friends.
Wow.
It is good stuff. It's fresh, farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients sent to your home. Seasonal recipes delivered. Sherrod, the party guys can't get in on this read. I'm sorry.
Fresh fans in the back, I guess.
It's delivered right to your doorstep.
Sherrod went to the club early.
Yeah. Skip the trip to the grocery store. And count, guys. I got to get the friggin' readout.
All right, dude.
Jeez Louise. Skip the trips to the grocery store. Count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and Jimmy. You know I'm gonna call on you when I need you to Jimify it. Okay, it's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming.
All right,
it's coming, buddy. Yeah, when it's time for you to talk about the meatloaf and your Indian chicken, I will point. I will point to you, buddy.
I love the meatloaf. Love the meatloaf. I am all about the meatloaf.
On top of that, the newest menu releases include Mediterranean recipes filled with fresh fruits, veggies, nuts, olive oils, fiber-packed whole grains, nourishing balance. Customize your favorite dishes with the new Hello Custom offerings, swapping out one protein or a side for another, upgrading to a deluxe experience, even adding a protein or a veggie to a meal, supersize it, do whatever you want. You can basically customize this to be exactly what you need. We have all gotten this. Not only did we get our complimentary HelloFresh, but many of us signed up to get another 16 meals sent to our doorstep, which is the deal we have for you. 16 meals. All you have to do is go to HelloFresh.com/playoff16. That's for 16 wins. 16 wins to get to the finals. Jimmy, how many do we need? How many we got right now?
Now he doesn't want to talk. Now he wants to be silent.
We got nine. Yeah. We need
Screwed that up last time. We tried.
Yes, we did. We did. 16 free meals, 3 free gifts. Come get some, please. Guys, absolutely. Jimmy, we can't hear you. We want to hear about the meatloaf, but we can't get it. We can't get you.
The meatloaf was great. Potatoes, yeah. All the sides. And it's, again, so easy. Everything's packaged. The instructions are right in
yes.
there.
Yes. What's up, Joe Slay?
You just rip it open.
What's going on? John, don't be cutting off Bobby like that, man.
No, it's good.
Keep going, Bobby.
I want to make sure we can hear you.
I think we all agree, man. Meatloaf, that's good stuff. But I like the tacos, too. Those pork tacos are amazing. I'll let Joe Slay jump in here. I'm going to head back over the pressers there and catch some other guys. But let me set the table with this. You know, I like to leave dropping a bomb here. But to me, Celtics starter Zach Ertel.
Are you going
to
say the series is over again? Because last time you did, it went really poorly for the other team.
Oh, for in reverse?
Right. Yeah, in reverse. Last time you called the series over, the other team won all the games.
Well, there you go. You know what I'm doing. This is over. Do with it what you may. And I don't think the Celtics are going to lose.
Are you really doing that right now?
You just did it again. Yeah. Mark the timestamp. 41-0-0. Bobby once again declares a series over.
Somebody
after two games.
One of the last YouTube videos in the comments, they said Bobby is such a prisoner of the moment, and I was like, damn, that is such a good way to explain
that's,
Bobby.
Yeah, I can't word it any better than that.
That's what perfect. Small sample sizes
Who said
is.
That?
Yeah.
Like,
it was a
how
YouTube
can you
commenter.
Not like this guy? He's 2 for his last 3 from 3-point land. I'm like,
yeah. Historic. He's shooting at a historic clip.
again. This isn't like John likes to say. This isn't apology cam worthy. But it's just, it's. I don't know. It's like you're it's way one other away one on the other end. And there's no in between. 180 yeah. Bobby. That's what it was. Hashtag 180 Bobby. Man.
Flip flopper.
Yeah. It's not apology cam worthy, but it's what Bobby does. It's what Bobby does. And I don't think this is necessary right now. It's inappropriate. It really
what's
is.
Good,
because
what's good, Josue? What's good in Miami, man?
What's going on? Oh man, a lot of things. But let's talk about what happened just now. Game 2. Let's stop it right now.
Josue, my man. Miami life.
Listen, Miami's been fun, you know, hanging out with obviously Bobby in the city has been fun, and Sherrod calling me Pitbull a lot. It's fun. Like, it's been playful. It's been great. But the Celtics needed to come correct in this game. They needed to get this win, head into Boston, send that message. And Marcus Smart did it in the best way possible. And look, I was one of those guys that was also saying, why is Marcus still in this game? This thing is over. But with the way the game one panned out, and Ime obviously having a bit of a soft spot here because Marcus plays so well. He left them out there for another 90 seconds so you could try to get that triple-double. It didn't
absolutely
happen, but you know what? That's okay because Marcus needed this in a big way, man. Like, I just can't imagine as a competitor, you know, for someone like Marcus to sit there through game one and you know, that injury, just a quick turnaround to another series. And he talked about it just now, how being out there and telling guys what's going on and being the guy to keep everyone, you know, focused, it's completely different when he's in uniform compared to when he's on the sidelines. It's like the ins and outs, when you're really, you know, losing the way the Celtics were losing in that third quarter in game one, some players just don't want to hear you. You know, they just don't. They're just not in the moment to hear you. But when you're in there with these guys in the trenches, man, it's a difference. And we saw that on both ends for the Celtics, right? I mean, Marcus, we know who he is. He's the defensive player of the year. But offensively, just some of these passes, man, like he's really come a long way with his journey as a point guard, man. Like there were so many question marks at the beginning of the season. And this evolution of Marcus at point guard, it just resonated in a big way in this one in game two, man. What a performance.
It just settles it down some because they were so out of sorts, you know?
Right.
You know, and again, not for all of it, just for the stretches that mattered. The game got away from them. There was no one to settle it down. Marcus, like I said, keeps them connected defensively and really settled down the offense. So he was amazing. How do you think he looked? How was he moving?
I thought he looked fine. I thought he looked great, especially with the way he was able to stay in front of his guys. You know, what a lot of the possessions, it was Jimmy Butler, the team's best score, you know, and he I thought he did a good job. You know, he really kept it. He kept the Celtics defense solid. And then in that second half, man, actually before the second half, you know, to jump out to that huge lead And listen, Miami Heat, they went on their run. We expected that in the third quarter, but the Celtics contained it. You know, they kept it in check. I'm sure some Celtics fans were nervous when it got under 20, just because we've seen this team blow many leads throughout the course of the regular season. But no, man, that was too big of a gap for these guys to blow this time around, because just the way they were bouncing back from that game one loss. I mean, look, Spoelstra, I think out of all the players that, you know, had the media availability between game one and game two, Spoelstra was the only one saying, like, look, this is going to be a really tough game. Like, the Celtics are going to respond in the big way. It's what they do. And that, you know, I threw that stat at him saying, look, you know, Celtics 3-0, you know, after losses in the postseason, is that something you looked at, the way they you know, perform after losses? And, you know, piggying back on that conversation after the game, I asked Spoelstra about the Celtics' approach. And before I can even finish my question, he's just like, the approach? No, it's the execution with these guys. Like, that's how tough they are. And we're going to have to find a way to respond back in game three the way they responded here in game two.
And that was a big part of why Boston won this thing so emphatically, was that they executed at both ends of the floor over and over and over and over again. And some of the things that Spoelstra was able to do in game one that kind of tilted the game's momentum in their favor didn't work. When they tried to blitz Tatum near half court, did not work, because he got the ball out quickly. And again, Jimmy Butler, you know, he wasn't able to be kind of that free safety lurking around, getting steals and doing all that kind of stuff. They neutralized pretty much every counter that Miami went to in game one that worked. And so now, if you're Spoelstra, what are you going to do? Because at this point, it's not about X's and O's, because there's not a whole lot you've shown them that they haven't seen already, and vice versa. It's about who has a better team, who has a better roster, and who can execute better. They're in trouble. Not like Bobby, the series is over trouble. Hell no.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. Whoa, whoa.
It's not like easy. But the Celtics,
what you been doing here in Miami, man?
The Celtics are in good shape, though. They're in good shape going back home.
Al Horford, for what it's worth, and this is something we've kind of guessed at and tried to speculate how things went down with the testing, has revealed that he self-reported, which is something we did not think, based off of the fact that he went to shoot around during that morning. But he claims now he self-reported, felt a little off, felt he had to get tested, and did. And Sherrod's got a smirk on his face. He's not.
No, Jimmy, I like that. I mean, well let's
Sherrod is not buying.
That's his. If that's Al's story, then that's the story that's going to stick.
Yeah,
that's the story that's going to stick.
We'll get Sherrod's real opinion in a week or so.
I'm not going to call. Whatever. If that's what he says, that's what he says. The one thing I find interesting is that Ime said today, he's like, he always felt fine. He always felt fine. He said that like in his press conference.
Al has his story, and that story's going to stick. I'm going to leave it right there.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I mean, okay, if you're out, the last thing you want to do is spread it to your teammates, you know? Like,
again, so if that's the case, that's fine. But he went to shoot around and was smiling and laughing.
Am I playing devil's advocate, I guess? I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is he went to shoot around, but now he says he felt off and had for a day or two, but he went to shoot around and then tested. And he says he self-tested, and again, whatever, so be it. That's Al's story, and as Sherrod said, he's sticking to it. Got the news, blah, 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 was able to test out, is what it is. But he
beat COVID that quickly.
I'm glad he's back. I'm glad Al's back. He's healthy. That's
I think Al Horford's a three-time COVID champion.
He is.
Three-time survivor. Pretty right. good.
So regardless, the fact that he returned this quickly – obviously made a huge difference. The fact that you got Marcus Smart back that quickly obviously made a huge difference. And now there's just no reason to believe that you're going to run into any other bumps unless, of course, something else happens unforeseen. But right now you got the band back together, and that's really all you could hope for at this point in the season. Being anywhere close to full health for anyone is remarkable. And though the Celtics did suffer the issues with Rob at the end of the year and into the Brooklyn series and whatever's gone on with Marcus here in this Horford situation, you're at game three of the Eastern Conference Finals and you've got your entire lineup intact. And that's more than you can say for a lot of people. And again, I want to kind of transition over, you know, the PJ Tucker news, getting an MRI, that doesn't mean anything, but they're concerned enough
and they ruled him out. When you get ruled out instantly, when you go back to the locker room, that's usually not a great thing.
Right.
You know, if you're iffy, it's a questionable to return, and then you kind of do it. But he went back to get looked at. He got ruled out right away. And he's having an MRI tomorrow. That's not great. Again, you've got the Lowry situation. Here's where the Heat have problems. You know, you broke last in case of emergency, brought Duncan Robinson in the game. The reason he's not playing is you're afraid he's going to get torched on defense. Tyler Hero was a minus freaking 33 tonight in his 20 minutes. I know he's instant offense and he comes in.
But not tonight.
But you thrust him into a starting role, and what does that mean? Peyton Pritchard was picking on Tyler Hero in this game.
They were hunting him. They were hunting
Tyler Hero.
Peyton has not hunted a player probably since they played Oregon State. Junior year.
They were hunting him. Peyton Pritchard was, where is that guy at? Let me get at him. And you put him in a starting lineup and get him on switches against Tatum or as a primary defender against Jaylen Brown. Good night. You know, that's not a great situation there. You have to put Duncan Robinson in the starting lineup. They're going to be like, where's Duncan at? That's a problem, you know. And Victor Oladipo's all NBA defensive credentials are well past him at this point. So I just don't know what you're going to get if you're missing Tucker out there. He's immensely valuable to them defensively and as a presence out there. So you could have some problems.
Especially with the switching. Like, he's able to guard multiple positions, obviously, that intensity. I mean, look, he gets the guys riled up. And honestly, I feel like if the microscope isn't over Bam Adebayo right now, before the injury, it's definitely going to be now. Because his offense, like, they got to find a way to unlock him if you're Miami. I mean, between Al coming back and, you know, the energy shifting, if you will, with this huge win for the Celtics going into Boston, they have to find a way to unlock him. I think they're going to try to. Supposed to try to, but how the Celtics respond defensively in game three, you know, it's going to be really telling to see how comfortable Bam Adebayo is going to be on offense from this point forward, because this is good. This is a big spot for him, I think, in both of these games, honestly, in Boston, games 3 and 4.
He has to step up if they're going to have any shot at getting control of the series over again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can do it. I mean, when I look at what he's got to deal with, I mean, you've got to outperform Al and Rob
because they're both going to be.
No, and then you got to worry about Grant Williams knocking down threes, because Grant, like most guys off the bench, he's going to be better at home than he is on the road. And so they're in trouble. True. Not like Bobby thinks the series is over trouble. It's just going to be harder for them to be competitive.
Honestly, I mean, I don't think Bobby's too far off. I mean, I don't think the series is over, obviously, but I think we'd all be stunned if the Celtics don't advance. I mean, I just think, I don't know.
I expect them to do that. I think it's a 6-game series. I felt same. That way at the beginning, and there's nothing same. I've seen that makes me think otherwise. So,
yeah, no. I'm with you, Sherrod. I don't think the Celtics are going to be here for Memorial Day weekend. I think they can get this done in 6. But with that being said,
that's good because I got plans.
So. That's far from over. I don't think it's going to be a gentleman's
sweep. I also won't be around.
You got plans. John's like, I'm not trying to be Sunday night talking to you fools. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm sure that the Celtics fans are hoping that they're not going to be nervous on Sunday watching a winner go home, you know, game 7, NBA finals or nothing. I don't think it'll go that far. But again, this is not going to be a gentleman's sweep. The way Bobby's putting it, the Miami Heat, they're just too tough of a team. They're too experienced. But
again, I also think we're misusing the gentleman's sweep term, but that's okay.
What do you mean?
That's when you win three and you give them the fourth, and then you take them out in 5. It's not just a 4-1 win, but that's okay.
So Bobby said backdoor sweep.
Backdoor sweep, yeah.
I don't know what that's all about. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
That's a generational thing. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
He said that, and I just completely ignored it because he just
said it. I don't know. He obviously has experienced backdoor sweep before, so I don't know what that means.
I don't even want to go there.
No, backdoor sweep. Backdoor sweep's a term. It absolutely is.
Yeah, backdoor sweep.
Yeah,
John. Leave it at that. John, that's Bobby's generation. You never heard that. You probably heard that like.
Absolutely, it's exactly what really? He says it is. You lose one, you lose, and then you friggin' win. You win 4 straight.
Gotta be a term. Anyways, This thing can go to six. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes to six. I'll be really surprised if something's went out. If they went out from this point forward, that'd be very impressive.
I have a question for you guys, and this is an honest question. I'm not sure the answer. I know that they are going to now give like the Larry Bird Trophy and the Magic Johnson Trophy to the winner of each conference. That's true, right? Do we know if Larry Bird will be presenting that trophy?
We don't know that for sure, but I would imagine he would be. It would make sense.
Freaking awesome!
At least the inaugural.
I just want confirmation he's alive still, and that'll be good enough for me.
Yeah, if we can get Larry Bird back at the TD Garden, the Celtics need to win this in six.
He was at the Garden last year, 2 years ago? When was that? But yeah, John, you got a point.
I think it was a couple years ago. Yeah,
but we got in this capacity though. You know, on the court.
NBA 75? Nah. Retirements? Nah. You know, like, forget about it.
Nah, man, we got to get Larry Bird back.
But I love how it wasn't even a question for the NBA 75. Everyone's like, yeah, Larry's not going to go. Like, it's not.
Yeah, right.
Like, no one was even like, man, you know, let's try to start a petition or something. Everyone's like, no, Larry's just, that's not what
you don't even waste your time. He may not even know it happened. He doesn't even know that it occurred. He's like, oh, okay.
No one emailed him. He's like, don't worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Celtics fans would lose it too. Larry Bird and Jim Pick, you know, something like that. Oh man, that would be, something would go nuts.
But
let's not get ahead of ourselves, guys. Let's not, you know, let's see.
No, we don't.
Let's see how Miami responds first.
If it were to happen. But anyway.
But yeah, look, if Bam Adebayo just gives them something on offense, it would change the complexion of the series, I think. Man, like, what happened? Talk about the way these two teams have changed in the past 2 years, but that's one of the bigger ones if you think about it. I mean, going into the series, it was easy to overlook when the Heat, you know, blew out the Celtics in the first round, but I mean in game one, but it's just different when Al's out there. It's different when Marcus is out there, you know, the defense.
That's why, and again, to defend Bobby in the kind of swinging of things, like swinging back and forth, I think it's fair to actually have completely changed your opinion after one game, not just because they blew him out, but because you saw the guys, you saw Horford return quick, and you saw Marcus Smart look healthy, mm-hmm. and that is stuff that you can project forward into how things will look the rest of the way. And the Heat are now trending in the wrong direction. Everything about this game has to, I don't care who you are and what you thought heading into it, after watching this, you have to feel different because, again, the energy shifted. I mean, it really did when those two guys return. And if Miami's battling injuries now, they're in trouble. Both teams fully healthy. Celtics, I think, had a considerable – had a good edge, enough edge to win the series, I think, clean. And now if it's tilted in the favor of Boston's fully healthy and Miami's battling injuries, I don't see how I don't know how they pull it off. I would not be shocked if the Celtics ran off three straight. But again, Miami's really good. They can make you play bad, and as good as the Celtics look tonight, they're not shooting 50% from three every game. So you always feel better about yourself when everything falls. Celtics can play good games and be ice cold shooting. And those are ones where you're kind of stuck in a rock fight against a team that's going to play hard. So Miami's not going anywhere. You just feel better about your personnel versus their personnel right now.
For sure.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Facts, my dog.
Facts, dog.
Man.
And obviously, as someone just pointed out, someone just pointed out in the thread, health can change quick too. So whatever, you can feel good today, and then friggin' three guys go down, and you're like, you know,
of course.
So who knows?
Because the one thing that we don't know is how will Marcus feel tomorrow, or more important, 2 days from now? Is he past this injury? Did he overexert himself? I think he's going to be fine, but. Again, to your point, I mean, that's where you can't feel too good about your team's health because it literally can change just like that, particularly when you got guys who are coming back from injuries.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things, Bobby, and again,
Harry Giles, by the way, I want to be here for Tatum.
Oh, really? One of the things where Bobby's changed his opinion a bunch of times was when he's down on Miami.
That's who?
Harry Giles.
What's up? Harry Giles or Giles. I always say Giles.
Jay Giles.
Tweet your own.
Yeah. One of the things Bobby would talk about when he was kind of down on the Miami was their offense and their inability to generate it. And we saw it. Now you've seen, you know, this game tonight where outside of Jimmy Butler, really not much going. And you saw a couple of games in Philly, a team that isn't a great defensive team without Joel Embiid playing, them go friggin' ice cold offensively. That does happen to Miami. And when you're playing a team as locked in as the Celtics can be defensively, when they have all their guys out there, again, I don't know how they're going to respond to the Celtics defense with, you know, with all of their personnel there. And again, you're adding Derek White to the mix, which means those small ball night, those small ball lineups can really be freaking nightmares for Miami.
Well, the problem is
good energy coming in. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yeah, well, dad and dad strength.
It's a new ball game for him for sure.
Yeah.
When you look at this Miami team though, they have a lot of the same problems that the Celtics had in game one as far as who's their organizer. Is it Jimmy? And if Jimmy's the organizer, who's going to be that second, third scorer that he can lean on when he's not scoring? And Jimmy is a decent passer, but he's not like a Marcus Smart-like passer where he's making the actual assist. He can make the hockey assist. And Gabe Vincent, he's not a real point guard either. So they're having – part of the problems that John mentioned is with their offense is because they don't have guys who can organize that offense with Lowry out of the mix. That was his job. He didn't need to score a bunch of points. He just needed to get guys –
Lowry's important.
He's huge.
Right.
He's huge.
This is a Levi community backcourt right now. And look, to their credit, they've been balling. You know, even before game one, they've held it down. But the Celtics have adjusted, you know, and game one, again, not having Marcus Smart out there in the backcourt, you know, this is a tough spot for these guys. There's not a whole lot of experience between Max and Gibson, you know, even though they've been holding it down in the backcourt.
I like Gabe a lot, but it's asking a lot. Yeah,
it is. This is a lot. And he's delivered. Don't get me wrong. He's delivered in a big way for this team. But it was just wasn't enough in this one.
Right, this is a worst-case scenario for the Miami Heat to face a team built the way the Celtics are. I mean, the Celtics' strength is their perimeter defenders. Your weakness now without Lowry is your perimeter organizer, a guy that can handle the pressure that the Celtics are going to put on you with their backcourt guys. And I give Gabe a lot of credit. He's played well in this series so far. But we all know that with guys who are traditionally backups, there's going to be a diminishing return on them the longer this thing plays out. Like, he's playing great now, but how's he going to play when you've got an entire building that is screaming their asses off and booing you and just they are not your friends? Right now, you're surrounded by a bunch of friends. That ain't going to be the way it's going to be in Boston.
Yeah.
Especially on a Saturday night when folks going to be lit. You know they're going to be lit before, during, and after the game. So
shirts are going to be popping up.
I hope they've melted that garden ice underneath the parquet. You know, at this point, because it's gone now. They melted last game when they were slipping all over the floor on game seven.
No more clicking and banging and all that noise that happens in the background when Bobby and I are doing our thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, Saturday's going to be epic. People are going to be passing out by the end of that game. Passing out, heat, alcohol.
The game's gonna start like 9. Yeah.
Turn off the AC in the Heat locker room. Yeah, do it old school.
There you go.
Do it old school. Yeah. Do it red style.
Put the heat on the Heat. I got you, John. Yeah. I got you.
I like it.
What's the weather in Miami?
A couple years ago.
You guys been getting some sun out down there? Come on.
Now we working, Jimmy. What you mean? I mean, the report that Bobby and I did from the beach, that was pretty cool. Come on, that was the Garden. That was the Garden report debut.
You've been working on something. I don't know what, but you've been working on
South
something.
South Beach debut.
I like it.
You guys do Hello Fresh yet? Or?
We tried.
Yeah, we did. We did. You know what? Yeah,
that was you need to take the clip from me, Sherrod, and Bobby that we did today, and that's gotta be one of the better reads we've ever done. Like, you just send that to HelloFresh and be like, "This is what we're doing over here. Like, this is
renewal.
Know, we're loving. We're exactly.
Yeah, that'll do it.
We love renewals.
Renewals, guys, help us out. I'll give you one more shout out. If you don't want to deal with grocery shopping and all the food prep, get yourself some HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com. /playoff 16. Get use the code playoff 16 up to 16 free meals. It's still
free active. Meals, people. Come on.
Yep. Go get it. Fresh farm, fresh food delivered to your door. A whole series of customizable options.
Meatloaf.
Really, it's all about the meatloaf. Yeah.
In a year, I swear, HelloFresh will come out with a Asia Rod's meatloaf or something.
Yeah, they will.
Dude. And yeah. What pisses me off about that, though, is like meatloaf is like my specialty. Meatloaf is the one thing meatloaf is the one thing I can absolutely kill when it comes to being in the kitchen. But their meatloaf is pretty damn good. I still think mine's is the shit. But theirs is really, really good.
Why is it
really good?
Why is that the only? I bet you can do more than just meatloaf, bro. Come on.
That's what, but that's the one. I mean, when you talk to my son Isaiah and ask him, what does your dad cook that's really good? I'll bet you he'll say meatloaf.
Okay. So then what you say about HelloFresh and meatloaf, that's
it's really good. It's really good. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they make a meatloaf. Really good
man knows meatloaf.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I had Indian style chicken, which was delightful. A little curry on there, a little kick to it.
That one I gotta try.
The house was, you know, like it was.
That's some good stuff.
I gotta say. But I'm gonna need to see those expense reports from Josue and Bob because what I'm hearing, I may need to get to game five. I might need to get to game five, man. I've been doing some investigating. So.
All right. Head on down.
Yeah.
I'll be the only one here. That's fine.
Yeah, that's okay. You wouldn't survive a night in Miami, I don't think, anymore, John.
I don't think so.
If this thing goes to Memorial Day weekend,
that wasn't my scene when I was 25.
If this thing goes to Memorial Day weekend, man, that would be – because win or lose, I mean, you got Memorial Day, you know? Sherrod, you're not getting that flight for Monday morning at the game seven.
Stop.
No way, you're chilling. Don't act like you're going to leave after game seven when there's a holiday weekend. Whether the Suns are going to the NBA finals or not.
That would be
even going to NBA finals, that's a week away.
That'd be
an extra day.
That'd be fiscally irresponsible. You don't want to take a flight on Memorial Day weekend. You got to stay a couple days and wait for those prices to drop a little bit, you know?
Oh, that's how that's going to go. Okay.
Yeah.
That's your game plan. That's your scam. I mean, game plan. Okay.
Yeah. That's just being fiscally responsible, you know?
That's your scam.
Stay a couple days, wait for prices to drop. Up a couple clubs. Bronze the thighs a bit. I got to get some color. Look at me over here. It's the light, though. It's the lighting.
Just blame the light.
Well, you'll
hat.
Have Saturday. Yeah. Plus, you'll have Saturday, Jimmy. You'll be in the sun all day Saturday.
I'm thinking pool day on Sunday. I'm thinking pool day.
Come on, Miami. Make this a seven-game series.
You want me to set you guys up for some basketball talk, or you want to keep going with this?
Oh, we're still talking about basketball.
give me
I was just letting you go.
I want a 20-20 game from Bam Adebayo. All right, let's pretend we're in the bubble all over again, and he's an actual threat on offense.
I don't.
Give me game seven.
I don't. I don't want that. I kind of like what he's doing right now. I'm good with what he's doing right now.
Oh, no, Josue's got a little pep in his step, a little hop in his voice.
No, Sherrod, like
he's a Florida. I think Josue's a Miami guy.
Sherrod's looking ahead. He wants to go out west. He's ready for the finals. He's like, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah, a little Oakland.
Both teams play hard.
Are we still talking about meatloaf? I just stopped.
We're on to
I'm just waiting for John to just give us the rap. That's what I'm waiting for.
I was gonna give Bobby a chance to come back in and be excited about something, you know.
He's interviewing Struess, the art of an ankle break right now. How to fall gracefully when you get your ankle snapped.
I want 3,000 words on Neesmith's 12 seconds in the first half. You know, when he came in defensively, he's like, I'm in the game. And then it was like honk. And then Tatum came right back.
It was so funny because Bobby sent out that tweet, was like, I just had dinner with Sherrod. And I told him that Neesmith.
Yes.
Man. He did do that.
Like, wait, what?
I didn't even finish reading the tweet until I saw him back on the bench.
And Neesmith's like,
Yeah.
I was like, why did you do this, Bobby?
I know what you're talking about.
The first half of Neesmith minutes.
That story's gonna be fire though. That Max story gonna be fire because it's. I mean, I guess it's not amazing because you know NBA players aren't in the know, so to speak, with people's backgrounds. But a lot of players don't know that he was cut by the Celtics. Like it's Bobby's onto something there. But that was funny.
It's funny actually. They're like,
oh, that was a funny quote from Ime pregame. He wasn't even here for that, and he's like, oh, that was a good one. With that one.
Yeah, he's like, I wasn't here for that. He's like,
I love when he made.
In other words, shade. I wouldn't have cut him. I felt like he was trying to say, I wouldn't have cut that guy. But
yeah, we missed out on that one, is what he said. Struce wasn't great tonight. Missed a lot of open shots.
Well, they said before the game, right?
By Marcus,
he had to test out. He had to test out to see if he could play. So there's something not right with him. He didn't look great. Physically,
he was questionable for game one, too, and he played. But, yeah, they've been on the injured list for a while. I believe Tucker was as well. I'm not sure
Tucker
with
was
what,
too.
But they had a group of guys who were in that. I believe Vincent, too. So they're a banged-up group for sure. They've been that way for a little while. They've overcome it with guys stepping up in the bigger roles. That's the story of this season. But playoffs, the story becomes how many guys can you play? How many guys can you survive? Right now, the Celtics have 7 guys. 8, depending on what White looks like when he comes back, rolling right now. And the Heat have what? We count it off. It's like Bam, Jimmy, Hero's giving them good minutes. And, you know, one or two other guys some nights. And Struce.
But Hero's getting torched when he's out there.
But that's it. Those are like your guys you can rely on. Deadman gives you a little something. But as deep as they look coming into this, they're thin with all these injuries. And the Celtics, Pritchard's out of nowhere again, and Joe Sway, to his credit, said tonight's another night that you can lean in on Pritchard. He gives them some shooting, some scoring there, and again, like this, this just, John, we've watched a lot of championship teams in Boston over the years, and you know what it feels like when you're in it. They just respond, they keep surprising you, more guys keep stepping up, like Pritchard, like Grant, like Smart, with miraculous performances that raise the team's level on any given night. This feels like a championship team to me. It does. Like, this feels like that's where this is headed. If they stay healthy, if they don't get stagnant in certain quarters and blow games like they have the points here, they're walking the edge, but they're right there with anybody. And again, now that they're healthy, I think you got to consider them favorites to do it. And yeah, I just love where they're at. I love what they look like right now. And I love this matchup for them. I did all the way coming in, and well, it's going to turn back to Boston now. And you could potentially be coming back to Miami if you take care of business. 3-1 lead. I'm getting ahead of myself here. I really am.
Yeah, I'm going to reading Sherrod's face. I'm gonna ask him to talk next.
Okay.
I know. I
feel that the Celtics are in control of the series, but I'm not going to even go there and just say that this thing is pretty much a wrap because, again, this is a very mentally tough Miami Heat team. And I'm not, right. And the one thing that I know this time of year, even if you're banged up, even if you're shorthanded, you're still, if your mental toughness is at an elite level, which I think theirs is, I'm not going to assume that they're just going to roll over and play dead. And I'm not going to assume that even if you are as good as Boston has been, that you're just going to roll over them. Miami is not going to go away. They're just not. And the Celtics, even though on paper the Celtics look better than them, health-wise, the Celtics are in better shape. Celtics have home court advantage now. I'm not going to disrespect this Miami Heat team. To me, they're like that. They're a cockroach that is not going to go away until you kill it. You may be 10, 20, 40, 100 times bigger than them, have every advantage. You have to kill them before they're going to go away. And that just hasn't happened yet. You got to take care of business in game 3. Take care of business in game 4. And then we can start seriously thinking about putting them away. But right now, all you've done is snatch home court advantage with at least 3 more games to play.
With a 34-point lead in this game. And I know it doesn't add up in the next game, but this
it
is
doesn't.
Dominant.
It's like what Bam said, man. It counts as one. It just counts as one loss. You know, It's the first. Oh, he said no. It's the first of four. You know, this is one, and it's the first of four wins. You know, so yeah, I'm with you, Sherrod. But you, the Celtics did with what they had to. You know, with their backs against the wall. So it's good. But let's see what happens when they head back home. They have to gotta take care of that.
They have to take care of home, absolutely. And they do that, right. Then we can start seriously looking at the next round, and we can look at them putting these guys away. But 1-1, no. Because all they got to do is still win in Boston. Entirely. Damn, they're back in control of the series.
This is how I felt coming in. And I, the chat's getting on me like I'm flip-flopping here. I said coming into this series, this could be a 5-6 game series in Boston.
You did say that. So I'll give you that.
Like, I love this matchup for them. I love the way they defend this group. And if you keep it in the half court, the Heat are really going to have a lot of trouble scoring. They just are. They don't have a lot of shooting. They don't have a lot of just creators off the dribble who can get inside and beat these big men here. We talk about, as Sherrod said there, the issues Bam has against his defense. And Butler, credit him. He put in work in that third quarter tonight and really made up ground fast. But they had already put themselves behind so far at that point. And as great as he is, he's not a guy that can hit threes. So you go down like that, and he's not going to be able to work you back himself.
Yeah.
And one of the low-key things that the Celtics did really, really well in the first half was turnovers. They had four. In the entire first half. And so
that's the key to this series, Sherrod.
It is.
Tatum had one.
Because that doesn't allow Miami to get out and run. And if they can't get out and run and get easy baskets, as Bobby pointed out, they struggle in a half court because they don't have an organizer. And so if you're the Celtics, if you have low turnover games, you're gonna control this series and end it fairly quickly. But again, Miami's defense, I think they're gonna have at least one more game where they're gonna, I think, force a lot of turnovers and get a W.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was interesting too. Because Spoelstra was asked about Kyle Lowry, where he is in his progression and trying to come back, and he kind of just like scoffed. He was just like, dude, I'm not even thinking about that right now. Like, I'm just trying to get a win without him. You know, heading into Boston, and I think it spoke volumes as to where he is in his recovery. Maybe that doesn't mean he's out for the entire series, but I just think heading into Boston for Game 3 and 4, I don't think Spoelstra is crossing his fingers on that one. He's trying to figure this thing out about Lowry.
Yeah, there's a difference.
That doesn't help. Yeah, Lowry's got a lot of miles in there. That's true.
There's a difference between Brown at 25 bouncing back from these hamstring things that Lowry at, what, 36, 37?
Yeah, that hammy is no joke.
Bobby, what'd you get from Tatum? Anything good?
Not a ton from Tatum. He was talking about their resiliency, that being the difference between the bad Celtics teams that they've had during his career and the good ones, the way they've bounced back, especially from the bad losses. You said, Jimmy, 3-0 after losses, now 4-0 after losses. But Al spoke as well tonight and did clarify that he went and got a test after not feeling well. So I don't know, we're still sort of parsing and figuring out what happened there, going into COVID protocol for 2 days. But again, he thanked the Lord that he was able to get back out there. And Abby with a funny question saying, you were in that dark room, third quarter. What was it like watching that? And I was just like, I wasn't in a dark room.
Yeah, it's not a concussion. It's not a concussion.
Yeah, no. He was in a padded wall.
He was definitely thinking about concussion.
Yeah, that's the dark room.
It probably felt pretty dark though in that third quarter.
I was watching her in the friggin'.
I was watching it on my 72-inch TV. What are you talking about?
He's actually in a pretty awesome suite in one of the nicer hotels in Miami.
Probably. That's when you drop the. I'm a dark place. You know, when you're in a dark place.
Yeah,
I think that's what she was getting at.
That's definitely it.
No, that's not what you meant.
Yeah. It's fine. Again, we talked about that. Some people here are a little dubious, but that's fine. Doesn't matter. He's back. He's playing. Marcus is back. He's playing. Derek White. We're hoping for good health for everyone involved. He's out for personal reasons.
Hendrix. He followed Rob's lead.
We think he's going home to give birth to his first child, and that's why he missed the game. So hopefully he'll be back as well. There's no rest here. It's every other day. So we are back again on Friday in Boston for Game 3, right?
Saturday
for Game 3.
That'd be a heck of a turnaround.
It's Friday now.
It is Friday. Sorry. I'm a day off. Saturday for Game 3. Everyone will be hanging out. Yep.
For me, the day doesn't end until I go to sleep. but okay.
Exactly. And they're all 8:30 starts. So we'll be doing this late into the evening as well. I'm not going to ask for final thoughts. We're going to go off the rails. I think we've said all we can say. So we are going to wrap it. Unless Bobby, you're late to the party here. Do you have anything last to say?
Bobby gets to close us out. All right, Bobby.
We went on to Meatloaf and South Beach and you know, we went to dark rooms and dark places when you weren't here.
One more thing out of this. Yeah, I guess there's Joe Swice that when I was coming on. I did get to talk to Max Strus one-on-one for a good while today. So look out for that. Boston Sports Journal, Saturday. He's coming. And then the Zone.
Shameless plug. Media. I love it.
I mean, this is our content here. CLNS Media got something on the Zone breaking from the Celtics tonight coming.
Isn't that
coming
refreshing, though? After watching them, like, watching their brains just snap trying to face, like, this really generic Zone, just to see them light up and be like, oh, my God, we're gonna absolutely.
Ime had a great quote on it.
They're all grown up now. They're all grown up now.
Everyone loved this quote on Twitter. Ime was just like, we were ready for that.
The Strus report coming up.
You know, Ime and his coaching staff are watching those games. Like, look at these dudes struggling. Like, watch the 2020 games. Look what they're doing
out there. They're going to go
zone. You guys ready to slash show? Come on in, guys. Come on in here.
Isn't that adorable?
Everything's just so simple and straightforward for Ime. He exudes that confidence, and it carries through. I mean, some people do that, and they don't follow through with it. Ime, he says something's going to happen, and it happens. It's unreal. Right. I love Ime.
Yeah, was on point today, just the way he had them settled. Called timeouts you know, a couple times when he's like, nope, don't like it. You know, let's pull it together.
I mean, like, we'll look back on it after this season, but remember early on, we were like, this guy hasn't coached before, and, you know, we were waiting to see what he was all about, and you just couldn't imagine a more perfect hire for this team. And Spoelstra actually said they had some history, obviously, in the finals there, but going back and forth when Ime was with the Spurs, and, you know, they had crossed paths over the Olympics this summer, and he was like, people in the coaching world thought this guy should have been hired 10 years ago. Like, it was obvious to us. And he just didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he came in with confidence. Like, I know how to fix it. What we were worried about in the beginning was same old shit that Brad that basically submarine Brad. And Brad was a good coach, and they ate him alive.
Right.
He couldn't get through anymore, and whatever Brad was doing wasn't working. And Ime, who came in with his, you know, different style and different brand and things that he thought he could get out of these guys, they didn't listen. Once they started doing what Ime wanted them to do, boom, you know.
I just remember saying, look, if Ime isn't the guy, then this thing is just not going to work between Tatum and Brown.
It's broken, verbatim.
I remember saying that back in like December. I was like, not only do you guys have experience with this coach, not only did you guys pretty much
handpick this coach.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, getting out of those bad habits obviously took longer than we expected, but it was like, all right, if this guy again, if he isn't it by the end of the season, then they had to really start thinking about the core of this team and breaking it up. But all that is in the rear view at this
point. Some people still are thinking about the core of this team.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
We're gonna call it a night.
What do you mean?
Shut it down, John. Hit the button.
Shut it to Bobby and the stream. Bobby and the stream. We're gonna wrap it up. We're gonna go Saturday. We are back, all five of us here on the Strus Report, live after the game. We will see you guys then. Check out Bobby's stuff. Check out Joe Sway's stuff.
Subscribe to BSJ.
Subscribe to BSJ, Full Court Press, Bulletin.com, and CLNS Media for all our late stuff. Joe Sway, Bobby, hang tight. I'm going to talk to you about some stuff we got to do from the arena. But the rest of you guys, thank you for hanging. Fantastic. We still got thousands here hanging out in the chat.
Millions.
Thank you guys, as always. We appreciate you.
Subscribe to the Cedric Maxwell podcast while you're
Cedric
at it.
Cedric Maxwell podcast, Rod Blakely A-List podcast, Dome Theory podcast, every podcast, our YouTube
Jimmy
channel,
Jones.
The Jimmy John podcast.
Still in the works.
Still under construction,
Under construction.
This is quite a build-up, guys.
Nick won't let us do it. He won't. We've been begging him. He won't let us do it.
Yeah, DM Nick.
Yeah.
Tell him you want Jimmy John podcast.
He won't. No,
he's like, no he free sponsors for Jimmy John, guys.
He's right, like, enough, enough Xanax. I've had it.
That we can all get behind.
enough. I don't want any more.
Xanax is doing spots on other podcasts, too, but we'll talk about that another time.
Are good guys, man.
That was good. That was good. I like that.
Good guys. Really good guys. It was fun hanging out with those guys. They jump in. They jump in on the show. They jump in on Slack, too. Pro Sports. Is it Pro Fan Sports?
Yes. Shout out to them.
Check out their podcast, guys. Two good guys, local guys, talk about Boston sports. Really fun. Anyway, thank you guys for hanging out. We will see you on Saturday. Good night.